Jackalicious.
Brian Sacaruni.
Wow, wow. That's nice. I like it. So
coming out strong for 2024, buddy.
You know, I have my friend Brad. He's a movie director.
I love Brad. Yeah.
He's done a lot of cool movies. And
yeah,
in the past, he's given you lots of opportunities to read scripts.
Yeah. Brad is a real person who is actually a big time movie director.
He's a big director. He thinks you're one of the leading actors of our generation. Just hasn't been discovered yet.
Thank you.
He's giving you lots of opportunities. They haven't panned out because you tend to laugh during the audition. But he hooked me up with some folks who do movie trailers.
Oh, that's great. I love the voices in those things.
Now, you remember Don LaFontaine? He was the big booming movie trailer voice. That guy made a fortune. Just he was pretty much every movie was Don LaFontaine. And he's passed. He's gone to movie heaven. And so they need somebody to read movie trailers.
No way.
Yes. And so this could, you know, you could be the voice of, you know, previews. Every movie theater is just your voice there talking about the movies. And Brad hooked me up with the folks who do that. And they said, yeah, they like your voice and they want you to kind of give it a shot.
Yeah, this is awesome. Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome. I'd like to see you get some scratch from this. It'd be good for the podcast, too. So I got some script. They sent me some scripts. I sent some to you. It should be in your email any second now.
It just came. I have opened it up. Let me just read it ahead of time. And then I did.
No, because movie trailers, it's all about getting in the studio, getting it done and moving on to the next movie trailer. And they don't have time for you to sit there and read and blah, 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 and try to get to know the script. You just got to know it from the get go. So if you're ready, I'm ready for it. Okay. Just the only thing is you got to be very professional. You can't laugh. You can't be.
Okay.
You
know, that would ruin it.
It would ruin the trailer and ruin your chances. But anyway, if you can take away this one, that'd be great.
If you could count me down like an actual movie thing, that'd be great.
Boop, boop, boop.
In a world where a global plague could mean the end of humanity, one man must take on the impossible to save the family he loves. From the producer of I Am Legend and the director of Butt Darts comes an unforgettable tale of struggle, determination, and heartbreak. Nicolas Cage as Devon Haywood, Shia LaBeouf as Sonny LaPorque, and Lena Dunham as the Sexy Mountain. The end is here in theaters Friday.
Shoot.
Come on. Did I get it?
No. And it's sad, too, because it's Shia LaBeouf and Sonny LaPorque.
Sonny LaPorque.
Yeah, you said Sonny.
Okay. Well,
the playoff between Sunni and Shia was where the comedy was.
Oh, that's where the comedy was. Sunni and Shia.
Shia LaBeouf and Sunni LaPorque. There's another one there. You can give that a shot. Just maybe you can
okay.
Salvage this.
All right, here we go.
Boop, boop.
Indiana Jones is back again for one final adventure you're not going to forget. Trapped in a Nazi-run assisted living facility, Indy and the lady from across the hall, who thinks her name is Sandy, join forces to keep Hitler's SS from acquiring the legendary bedpan of destiny. With Harrison Ford reprising his iconic role and introducing Joanne Klebold as Sarah, or maybe it's Sandy. Glenn Kenny of the New York Times says, "It's an Indiana Jones film unlike any other." The Daily Mail's Brian Venner says, it was 2 hours and 18 minutes. Andrew Peters from The Guardian says, Joan Klebold's performance was if she had Alzheimer's. Indiana Jones and the Bedpan of Destiny. In theaters everywhere, this Sandy.
Damn.
Sorry, well, I blew it.
It's always Sunni in Philadelphia.
You're listening to Questionable Material with Jack and Brian, a mostly improvised podcast produced in New York by Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. QMPodcast.com.
Hi, Brian.
Hi, Jack.
Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year to you, Jack. It's a brand new year, Jack. 2024.
Wow, 2024.
Yeah, what happened?
I don't know. We got old.
Sad.
Yeah, 2024 is upon us. We've got a new, new season of podcasting to go. And better yet, forget all the nonsense about New Year's resolutions and any of that stuff. We've got the best news possible.
You're having another baby.
I mean, it would be weird. I guess we would have to go into the dumpster and find my wife's tubes and like Jerry rig them up back into her belly. And
she lost those. They took them out. They said enough is enough.
Yeah, she didn't lose them.
she got rid of them. She said, get this out of me.
She said, get this out of me, which is how she ends every session of lovemaking.
All four of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had sex 4 to 5 times with my wife.
Secret to a happy marriage.
Oh, really? That'd be neat. I'd love to learn about that someday. So anyway, bigger news than that, Brian. So no, I'm not having any more children.
Okay. Are you excited about the presidential race? That should be great.
No. Okay. No, I'm not. It's going to be terrible.
Terrible for 11 months.
Yeah.
Were you excited that the new year started at Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve? What happened to that?
Well, Dick Clark passed away.
Yeah, and they just like handed it over to idiots?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's amazing that just his name is such a franchise that they still just label it Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve. I mean, that guy's been dead for over 50 years.
And it's just like it was all low energy. I was in Canada.
Oh, well, that's why it was low energy, because it's not even a new year up there at this point.
We had to celebrate 3 new years.
Mm-hmm.
Because my wife wanted to go celebrate the Polish New Year. So like at 3 p.m. or something, like we were trying to find a place to get a glass of champagne.
Does she do that by screwing in a light bulb wrongly?
What?
Yeah, because she's Polish and they have trouble doing things right.
Wow. Yes. That's how I'm lost you, the glass of champagne.
Okay. All right. So she, of course, she wanted to alcohol. That tracks.
She wanted to celebrate the New Year's in Poland, then New Year's in New York, and then finally New Year's in Vancouver, where we were all kind of north.
I see.
So we had 3 New Year's celebrations.
And what year is it in Canada?
In Canada, well, it's 1987.
Oh, that's cool. So Everyone's still wearing purple as like a power color and doing cocaine?
Yeah, yeah, it's a fun play. And there's a bunch of draft dodgers who came up there. They're living up there now.
That's exciting.
It's cool. It's a good time to be there.
That's great. Well, I mean, I love the regressive politics of Justin Trudeau. That's my boy.
Yeah, he's a big, people really like him.
You know, before we even get to my big news, you know, what else is like a Canadian New Year like that sort of is different than like an American New Year? Because in America, you know, maybe we shoot off some fireworks. We'll, you know, we'll drop the ball. We'll, you know, have a kiss at midnight. There'll be a big party in Times Square, New York, and throughout other places. What's a Canadian New Year like?
It's a big festive thing. There's a lot. Well, they're big into their pets.
Okay.
So what you cook, you bake a little lead-on cake if you have a dog.
Okay.
It's called a lead-on cake, and you bake it and you just stuff it with all the things your dog loves. And doesn't, you know, they're dogs. They don't really care. We'd be grossed out, but you know, peanut butter and sausage and all these, you just think, and you kind of put, and the aroma is amazing, and you just keep offering it to it throughout the night. and then every time it goes for it, you just pull it away and say, not till New Year's. Not till New Year's, not till New Year's, not till New Year's. And then at the stroke of midnight, you take it and you dump it in the trash. And the idea being like, you know, wow, that just happened. What else could happen this year?
Wow. So you're just teaching the dog that lesson?
Yeah. You're teaching your dog just a valuable lesson, and you just never know what's going to happen. And it's salivating like crazy. And it goes to bed, you know, hungry and thinking of food and wondering why its master would do that. So it's a way, you know, it starts off the new year with kind of this weird energy.
Well, I think it's weird energy to have a master slave relationship with a dog.
So you were saying you had news?
No, screw the news. This Canadian New Year. So that's how they treat the dogs. Yeah. But can you tell me how they treat, because you said that there sort of is a very similar thing, and this is horrible, but with women. So like, how did you have to treat your wife leading up to New Year's Eve?
So, I mean, what you do is it's a lot of guys will do it, single guys.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is like throughout the course of the evening, they keep dropping to their knee and then they're reaching into their pocket.
Yep.
And girl gets very excited and she thinks something's, you know, coming out of it. And then he just removes a banana and he's just like, you want to get some potassium?
And so this teaches them to, again, that the master can control all sorts of things.
Yes. It's all about dominance in Canadian culture.
I guess. See, I didn't know that. I thought it was more about submissiveness and.
No, there's a lot of choking. A lot of choking.
Really?
And not even during intercourse. It's actually, I was at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And I had asked for a flat white and I'm waiting there. And barista was quite cute, little midriff, which I always like a midriff. And
sure.
She takes the flat white and she's reaching over for it. And I go to get it and she just reaches up and grabs my throat. They're violent Jeez. People. They're violent people.
A flat white, you say?
A flat white.
Huh. You mean like Arya Stark?
Yes. I was going to go with Ellen Page, but then I realized.
That she don't exist no more.
That she don't exist no more. I just dead named her.
So why on earth is, are they such a violent people? What are the ways do they sort of show their violence, especially around the holidays?
Well, they're just kind of mean spirited. So they have this thing with the, you know, the Aboriginals, the native Canadians, if you want to, and they have this Truth and Reconciliation Committee.
Okay.
And they had these stickers in the window, which I thought were great. They said Truth and Reconciliation. We're listening. We're learning.
Hmm.
And my first instinct was like, oh, that's super corny. And then I was like, no. And then I got to know what, so they actually do these committees and they have the natives come in and say, well, you know, I was here in Squamish, my ancestor. And they're just like, we don't care.
So they draw in the indigenous people and just continue to twist the knife.
Yes. Yeah. It's just this mean spirited thing. Cause these guys they're drawn. They're thinking, oh, maybe, you know, I'm going to get some acknowledgement that, you know, maybe I need help or something. Some financial assistance is in order.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get some money out of this thing. And they're just like, we don't care. We're listening and we're learning that you're a loser.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's just so mean. Yeah, it is. They're just extra mean. They don't have to be that mean. And the other thing is they have these signs everywhere, especially over in British Columbia, and they have it in English and then they have it in the Indian language,
mm-hmm.
except they just make it up. They just made
so
it
like
up.
Klingon?
Yeah. Like, so the Squamish people is like, that's not Squamish. And they're like, we don't care.
That's so inappropriate.
I know. So, you know, I was up at Whistler, which is pronounced Klar-Zich, and, you know, it's like they just made it up. Because I saw this, wild. I saw an Aboriginal there and I was just like, hey, your Klar-Zich is a beautiful place. He's like, that's not even, don't even bother. Just call it Whistler. Not even a word.
And they taught you to say your name to the Aboriginal people, right? So how did you introduce yourself to the man?
They were like, you know, telling me in the pamphlets and stuff, and then the concierge at the hotel is like, if you meet an Aboriginal person, mm-hmm. you know, introduce yourself in your name. And you know, so they told me my name was Boom Boom Long Time. So a gentleman came up to me and said his name was Tree Bark, and I said Boom Boom Long Time. And it was, we got nowhere.
It feels vaguely racist or not so vaguely racist. And then they also, in the pamphlet, I know, you know, because I visited Canada. I grew up in Rochester, New York, so it was very close to Canada. Mm-hmm. In the pamphlet, they also tell you what to do if you encounter an Aboriginal person in the wild. Would you share that with us?
Well, you want to show them you have an appreciation for nature like they do, because they always have this reputation for being, you know, in touch with nature and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you go around in the forest and you assemble to pick mushrooms and berries and other things that you can eat. And you kind of assemble them.
That's awesome.
You keep offering it to them, kind of like a, you know, this kind of like, this is for you.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll kind of look at it and they'll smile and they'll reach for it. And then you just pull it back. You'll just say, sorry, too slow. And you just keep doing that.
Oh, geez.
And at some point they stop reaching.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you realize you've won, that you've broken their spirit. But you have to do it. You have to do it twice because they have two spirits.
Oh, wow. Man. I had my own joke and I that blew it out so far out of my mind. I don't even remember what it was. Man, but I love that you said to prove that you've won, as if it's unclear who won.
Well, that's
in
all
white man v Aboriginal.
That's the Canadian way. They want to rub it in. They want to just rub it in every single day. They do their best.
A horrible people and a horrible society.
Yeah, it's if it weren't for the skiing, which there wasn't a ton of.
Yeah,
because there wasn't any snow.
I heard.
Yeah, but other than that, and the poutine. The poutine's really good.
Oh yeah, so your wife doesn't mind you getting a little of that?
No, I like the poutine. And no, this is the potatoes and gravy and cheese curd. Yeah, you misunderstood.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, sorry.
That sounded. I almost maybe you misheard it as Squamish, but and then there's I forgot where I was going.
It doesn't matter. Brian, I've got exciting news. Remember?
Yes.
All right. So I'm ready to reveal. All yes. Go. If you have other guesses, go for it. No. So yeah. So you want to hear the big news or not?
So yeah, I've tried to find ways to delay this, but I think I'm out of ideas. You tell me what the big news is.
It's official. The ink is dry. The paperwork has been signed. The check is in the mail or in your Venmo. We've got a sponsor. It's official. I teased it before. Copy Plus, which has changed their name to Silent Partners, is the official sponsor of Questionable Material with Jack and Brian.
Copy Plus.
No, not anymore. Silent Partners is their name. They're going through a name change right now.
Okay. But they were Copy Plus.
They were Copy Plus. They sort of did some copywriting, worked with business leaders and stuff. And now they're sort of getting away from the copywriting and doing other stuff as Silent Partners.
So Copy Plus is going to be available in the near future.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I suppose so.
Then I'm going to get on the horn to Claudine Gay and let her know there's a business idea.
She's going to be so excited about this.
Yeah. I mean, this is exactly what she does. She copies plus.
I'd like you to pitch Copy Plus, now Silent Partners. Yeah. I'd like you to pitch Copy Plus to Claudine. So I'll be Claudine Gay.
Yes.
And you be Brian pitching this great business opportunity. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So ring, ring. I pick up the phone. I say, hello, Faculty Lounge.
Yes, I am. I was looking for former President Claudine Gay.
Speaking.
Hi, Mrs. Gay. My name is Brian, and I have
racism.
I haven't even because of my name. It's because of the Irish origins of my name.
Yes, it's racism's fault.
Well, let me just. I have a little presentation I'd like to give you.
Okay.
Because we have a business connection. They are shedding a name they've been using. It's going to be available.
Mm-hmm.
They were using it for other reasons, but the name of the business is called Copy Plus.
Oh, tell me more.
And so this is, I think this really is a for your business, your future endeavors. I'm mm-hmm. not sure how long you'll be at Harvard, but for $900,000 a year, I'd stick around.
Sure. But, me too.
But in the event, you want to have a side hustle or they find some other way to escort you off the property, this opportunity is really a good one for you because Copy Plus is kind of a reputational thing. It shows that your ability to copy and do more.
Well, I know Copy Plus has a sterling reputation. They're based in Cincinnati, Ohio, and are, I believe, changing their name to Silent Partners, if I remember that right.
Wow, you're really good now.
Look, as long as we don't talk about the damn Jews, I'm fine on the spot.
Well, I just want to let you know that this is available for you, this name. And if you want to do business, please let me know.
Wait a minute. Is this the Brian from Questionable Material?
Yes.
Love that show.
Thank you very much. I knew you would.
Some of the jokes you come up with, boy, when they come out of my lips, my friends just laugh and laugh.
That's funny because when they come out of my lips, I get in trouble.
There's no double standards. Shut your mouth. Well, wow, it's so exciting to see. So in what way could I use Copy Plus to make a couple extra bucks?
Well, let's say somebody writes a book.
Yeah, I love books. I haven't written any myself, but I love reading them.
Sure. So you take a book and then you go to AI and you have AI come up with a few images.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that book, you go to Amazon self-publishing, you add those images to the book, and you've copied it. Plus, you've added graphics. Yeah.
That's great. And I get all the money from that?
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Wow. This sounds like a great idea. I'm Claudine Gay, and I wholly support Copy Plus.
So, silent partners.
Silent partners. Yeah. I mean, I think they'll probably use the Claudine Gay stuff out of context and sort of like billboard that in Cincinnati mm-hmm. and across the nation because mm-hmm. they work with businesses across the nation, Brian.
What does silent partners do?
I didn't do a lot of research on this.
But they're paying money
yep.
to sponsor us and you don't know what they do.
Look, do you want the money or not?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, what do you think they do?
Silent partners?
Yeah.
Well, it could be a lot of things. Silent partners. Well, you mm-hmm. could, they could be mute.
Mm-hmm.
They could be mute people who it's like an escort service mm-hmm. where, you know, you call up and they send you a silent partner. So it's somebody who can't speak, but they can listen and hopefully look good.
And they won't then snitch to your wife.
Exactly. They can't speak. I mean, unless they can type. That's why don't give them your phone number.
Silent partners, the escort service of mutes.
Yes. It could be a mute escort service. Silent partners.
That feels right.
It could a matchmaking service for people who don't talk. You know, haven't you seen that at dinners before at a restaurant? You have two people just sitting there and clearly they've known each other a long time and they have absolutely nothing to say to one another.
They're not even on their phones. They're just eating in silence.
That creeps me out because I'll just focus on that. My wife and I'll be like, look over there. They're three tables over. They haven't said a word the entire dinner and they're getting close to dessert. That could be a silent partner.
Yeah, probably. I'm not sure how our sponsor is going to make money off of that.
Well, I mean, what you should have done when you are landing a sponsor is ask them what their business is.
Oh my gosh. There are a lot of rules to this. I didn't get into podcasting to work.
Yeah. It's, this is a thing where, you need to get more details in the advertising world. The account executive would get all the details and then hand them off to the copywriter like me and be like, okay, the client wants to do this. This is all the information you need to know. So you're not a good account executive.
Well, first of all, thank you for that. Now, I mean, off the top of my head, it could be the type of business that helps business leaders and owners prepare for selling their business about 12 to 18 months out before they put their business to market and help prepare for all the things surrounding the sale.
What are they preparing?
The mental and emotional.
I'm selling my beef jerky factory. What am I going to do?
Yeah. You'd call up silent partners and they're going to help you with that transition.
Okay. You're the silent partner guy.
Okay.
And I have a beef jerky business and I'm selling my business I want to sell my business this year, 2024.
Well, typically we work with business owners from 12 to 18 months out, but okay, fine. I'd love to help you prepare your beef jerky business. What would your life be like without beef jerky in it?
Well,
have you even thought about that?
Without the beef jerky business or actually eating beef jerky?
Probably the business, but maybe both.
Well, I've been in the beef jerky business for quite some time. I'd like to just kind of settle down now. I'd like to travel some and I'm just selling my business, but I love my business dearly and I love my employees.
Well, that's perfect.
They mean the world to me, except for Tim. Tim's a bit of a dick.
Then let's come up with a plan together to make sure that your employees are taken care of, that selling your business isn't about just getting the most money possible, although that's a fine goal as well, but also making sure that your employees are fine and everything in between, except for Tim. What did Tim do to you?
Tim just always loses my messages.
We can make Tim disappear. At Silent Partners, we make problems go silent.
All right. I want Tim out. I want the rest of my employees kept. Oh, and I want the business to remain in Akron.
Which Tim is it? Because I just had three of them removed.
It's funny. His name isn't actually Tim. I call him Tim, but he's very short. So I think of Tiny Tim, but his name is actually Toby.
Oh, geez. I got to send some more emails. This has been Silent Partners. I got to hang up now.
All right.
Well, pretty good. So that's Silent Partners. That's the big news.
So we have a sponsor.
Yeah.
And it's not Manscaped.
No. Although Silent Partners might trim your pubes. I'll have to speak to my contact in the organization and I'll have that answer at some point.
Because because that name would work. Cause it's kind of like, okay, you and I, let's keep this on the down low. Let's keep this quiet. Let's not talk about it. Stay silent.
Or, you know, maybe you call your balls your partners and you just want to, you want to clean them up. You want to keep them silent. You don't want them to be too loud.
I'm just worried that the sponsor money will spoil me.
It's a substantial amount of money, Brian. I'm going to tell you that probably will happen.
I'm selling out, Jack.
That's fine.
I didn't want to sell out, but I feel it. I'm selling out.
What's the biggest change you're noticing so far?
Well, I'm a little light in the loafers, if you know what I mean.
You've lost weight?
No. I'm turning gay.
You're turning gay?
Yeah.
Claudine gay?
No, the kind that doesn't plagiarize.
Oh, a homosexual, a wonderful, productive member of the community who just happens to have different sexual proclivities than you.
Yeah, just, you know. Yeah. Copy plus.
Copy plus. Remember, the key to sponsoring our show, and this is the truth, and then we're going to move on, is that you have no say in how we promote your business.
That is the key to success, Jack. Jack.
Brian.
I sent you a couple more movie trailers.
Oh, good.
Because we have another chance to maybe seal the deal here and get yourself a movie trailer gig. A lot of money in it. Don LaFontaine lived a very nice life.
Yeah.
Just doing movie trailers. And I'm hoping, thanks to Brad, you might have this opportunity. So check your email. I sent you some movie trailers.
And, okay. I have it. It just got in.
All right. Boop, boop, boop.
In a world where a global plague could... Uh-oh. Is this the same?
Did I just send you the same exact thing?
Yeah, you sent me the same one.
Oops. That's big dumb of me.
But it just proves that I don't read these ahead of time.
Sure does.
Now we might keep that mistake in the show.
Okay, so yeah, now I've sent you the proper file.
Okay, and I have it. I have not read this before.
Boop, boop, boop.
From director M. Night Shyamalan, his most terrifying film yet. Four sisters, each with awful made-up names like Harley and Emmeline Grace, are stranded on a tropical island. But it's not any island. It's a portal to the depths of hell. When Alamandra accidentally trips on a log and hits the secret button in the tree trunk, Alson, spelled with Y's because her mom sucks, is quickly whisked away by a demon who lived in a tree because it's affordable. What? With no time to lose, the three sisters must travel to hell, see and fight plus-sized people, and outwit the devil himself in order to bring their sister back within the 90 minutes allotted by the film's producer. Tropical Hell Island starts Friday. Weird.
Yeah. Well, it's M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. I mean, of all people to complain about the weird ways people spell names.
Yeah. But his name is, at least it's a legit name. Like it's an Indian name or something. It's not some made up nonsense like Kaylee Brin.
The way Emmeline was spelled in this was E-M-M-A-L-Y-N-N.
Yeah.
Emmeline Grace.
Just awful. Terrible. You got another chance.
All right. I'm ready.
Boop, boop, boop.
Harold Weissman had an ordinary life, an ordinary job, an ordinary wife, three ordinary kids, and one ordinary dog. So he could be forgiven for thinking his Saturday morning would be ordinary. But Hamas had other plans. Starts October 7th.
Ooh, that was quick. That came out.
Yeah, they turned the stuff around fast.
Wow. Hollywood's on top of things.
It's weird. I unfortunately read it like a comedy trailer.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was written almost, right? Yeah, weird.
Yeah, kind of almost, yeah.
Huh.
Shoot. Well, I apologize. I apologize for that one, America and Israel. Hey, Brian.
Hello, Jack.
So I don't know if you saw this in the news. This was actually in the news today. But the Clinton Presidential Center, the Clinton Presidential Library, decided to post something on X, formerly Twitter, to commemorate World Typing Day. Did you see this story?
You know, I didn't. I was laying tile. And that's not a euphemism. It's fixing my floor. Well,
that's an appropriate failed euphemism for what the story is. Okay. So apparently
you're saying there's a World Typing Day?
Yes, there's a World Typing Day. And of course, you've got to commemorate it if you're the Clinton Presidential Center.
Yeah, because typing is it's a thing. It's huge.
It's huge. I mean, everyone's doing it nowadays.
Especially Miss Gay.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's more World Xeroxing Day.
Yes, Copy Paste Day.
Copy Plus.
Copy Plus, our new sponsor.
What they did is they posted an old photo of Bill Clinton on a laptop computer, and this was what it was captioned with. On November 7th, 1998, President Bill Clinton typed out and sent his first ever email. Can you guess who it was to?
Oh, no.
Hashtag World Typing Day.
That's just teeing up like, all right, you're just letting the world just, oh my goodness.
And after everyone just destroyed it with Jeffrey Epstein comments, they had to take it down.
Oh my God.
I mean, how dumb.
Yeah, they didn't really think that one out.
No, they didn't. They didn't at
your
all.
Your mind immediately goes to Lewinsky and Epstein.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But what's funny, what made me think about this story being right for the podcast is that you're on the board for the Clinton Library, right?
I am. Yeah. I just wasn't at that particular meeting.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing. So, you know, I'd love to sort of get a sense as to I haven't visited. I'm thinking about maybe taking the kids there in case everything else in America is closed. So, yeah, oh, it's great. So, okay, awesome. So could you maybe just sort of, you know, walk us through some of the things that we could see? I've never been to a presidential library.
Yeah.
What could we see at the Bill Clinton Center and presidential library?
In Arkansas.
Yeah, in Arkansas.
It's got a beautiful sidewalk. They have interactive.
Kids, start packing.
They have interactive. They've got interactive exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
There's one called Feel Your Pain. And you go in the dark and you stand there and you'll feel yourself being groped. And then you'll hear kind of like a, as you're being, you know, in the pitch black, you don't know who it is. And the funny thing is every once in a while, the former president himself comes by and does
cool.
that to feel your pain.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Is your pain what you call perhaps your vagina?
The pain's usually located below the waist.
That's weird.
Or on your chest.
Sure.
I mean, there's a screening process for the Feel Your Pain room.
Oh, that's really interesting. Normally, they don't have a screening process before you go into an exhibit at a library. Like, what's the screening process like?
Well, they prefer females of a particular age range and mm-hmm. a beauty standard.
Age range like 25 to 55, something like that?
Officially. They have a mock-up of the Oval Office.
Oh, okay.
And you can sit there and if you want, you can authorize like a military strike on Somalia to divert attention from your woes.
So that's great. So in other words, like if you and your wife got into a fight because you made her get her tubes out instead of getting a vasectomy, yeah. like that would distract her from it by bombing another country?
Yeah. You basically, you know, you just you're like, cruise missiles.
Wow. And so it's like a video game with these fake missiles coming down on the screen or something?
No, it's legitimately, it's still active.
What?
Yeah, he still has a hotline to the Mediterranean fleet. And so it's, and anytime he and Hillary get into it, you know, there's just there's some cruise missiles go up.
Man, the stuff you learn. This is why I ask the questions. Feel your pain.
Feel your pain. And there's
okay. So you got the mock-up of the Oval Office. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There's obviously a McDonald's on premises.
Sure.
So you know that's always good. And then you they have
and do they have special like Happy Meals or anything like that?
Yep. The Happy Meal comes with a ticket for Hillary to go somewhere. First class.
That makes everyone happy.
Yeah. Especially the president.
I mean, normally it's a toy, so it's the kids are going to be disappointed, I'll be honest with you. Well, not if you have to listen to her, I suppose. Apparently you have a very special display and interactive exhibit for NAFTA.
Yes.
The North America Free Trade Agreement?
Yes.
Man, it doesn't seem like a sort of a sexy exhibit. What's the NAFTA thing like?
Well, it's just, you basically have, they're animatronics. It's kind of like we got the Disney people to give it, lend us their animatronic technology. So there's an animatronic Canada, which is just kind of like a, well, go then, you know, talks like that. Eh? And then, a Mexican guy.
Sure.
And he comes and then they kind of meet and then they, in the Uncle Sam in the middle and they all shake hands.
That's okay. That's sweet, I guess.
And then they say, I hope there's no long-term effects on the economy. And then the lights go out.
That's the entire show?
Yeah.
That's weird. Well, it's weird because if Disney made them, I'm surprised they didn't just start like kissing each other.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's Arkansas.
Right. Know your audience.
That dog don't hunt there. When you come down the stairs to the second level of the exhibits.
Yeah.
They have a wax statue of Al Gore.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. That's cool.
Just kind of tucked off in the corner. Some people think it's really him.
I can see that mistake.
Yeah, because it's just no, you're not getting much emotion or anything like that. There's not a range of human behavior, which is, you know, wax statues are famous for. So,
sure.
Yeah, so it's like a lot of people will come down the stairs, and if they do notice him, they'll just be like, oh, Al Gore's here. And then they keep moving. They don't even feel the need to say hi.
Or take a picture or anything like it.
They just don't. They just keep going.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an inconvenient truth that he's not very interesting.
Yeah. It's a little boring. At least it's
a little boring.
At least his wife is exciting.
Well, and they have do they have him doing anything with the Tipper Gore wax statue?
The Tipper Gore wax statue is actually in another part of the building. It's the only part of the building where the speakers don't work because she's turned them off because she doesn't want to hear music.
Deep cut for people of the late 90s.
Back when the Democrats used to want to be the ones to censor music.
Boom. Very good.
You know, there's a tribute to Vince Foster.
Oh, how sweet.
Yep.
What's that like?
They've reenacted his suicide.
Oh, how sad. What's that look like?
He's playing music.
Yeah.
And he's kind of weepy and he climbs up on a chair and he ties a rope to the ceiling fan and puts it around his neck Oh. Yeah. And then, you know, he's, you can see him thinking about, is this it? Am I about to jump into the abyss? Is he going to kick the chair away? And then in the window, you see President Clinton kind of appear. And you're like, oh my God, he's going to save him. And then President Clinton just reaches in and turns on the ceiling fan.
That's a weird suicide.
Yeah. I mean, it's just sad. I think, you know, I guess because, you know, he wasn't committing and the president was there to help him.
Oh man. Well, that's what leaders do.
Yeah. I mean, he made the, you know, he's a decision maker.
That's right. Wow. And so, so then Vince Foster's body just swings around for all the school kids and the field trip to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the more popular exhibits.
I guess so.
People would sit there forever, except Tipper Gore's voice then comes over the speaker saying, turn off that music.
And then it ends. That makes sense.
Lights out.
Wow. Well, I don't know. It sounds like it's a lot more than a bunch of dry old books in that library.
Yeah, I mean, there's just one exhibit after another.
Yeah, I guess if you're going to be in a library, you might as well rewrite history.
Yeah, I mean, you those who rewrite history are condemned to make it.
Well, Brian, this is the end of Questionable Material with Jack and Brian, sponsored by Copy Plus, now Silent Partners.
Silent Partners.
And I'm really excited. Do I have one more chance to sort of nail these this audition?
If you need a partner and you don't want them to talk, call Silent Partners. I sent you some movie trailer, Jack. Some movie trailers.
Great.
You got them?
I have it. Boop. Yep, I got them. I can't wait. Oh, gosh, it's already... Boop. A missing girl. A violent criminal. A forbidden romance. A mysterious stranger. Only one thing is certain. The neighborhood will never be the same. Sesame Street the movie starts Friday.
Damn.
What? The Children's Television Workshop ain't what it used to be.
Nothing is, Jack. Nothing is. Quick one right below. Let's go for it. Boop.
Okay.
Boop.
For years, the crime duo of Bonnie and Clyde were thought to be dead. But the quiet town of Sales, Louisiana, is about to get the surprise of a lifetime. No bank is safe from the return of Bonnie and Clyde. And no one can believe their eyes, because Bonnie has a penis now, and Clyde's vaginoplasty went swimmingly. Liam Neeson as Bonnie, and Selena Gomez as Clyde. The return of Bonnie and Clyde in select theaters, rated R because of the scene rated R because of the scene with the AMS 700 penile prosthesis pump.
Oh, you didn't get that
AMS one. 700 penile prosthesis pump. That's a hard thing to say, Cole.
It's a hard thing to watch on YouTube. But if you want to see the Boston Scientific guide on how to install that into somebody's body, then dig on in on YouTube.
Good Lord.
I'm scarred for life. Anyway, you didn't get that one.
Brian, great job today, pal. Thanks for being so awesome.
Thank you, partner. Not a silent partner. You're a chatty partner.
I am. Otherwise, it'd be a really bad show, or worse than it is now.
Correct.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, Jack. Review me and all that.
You're a 3-star host, a 1-star friend, and a 4-star lover.
Questionable Material with Jack and Brian. Subscribe on any podcast platform. Watch our clips on YouTube. Visit us at qmpodcast.com.